You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV, copyright 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I'm in all those things for the funny. I'm sorry. Don't invite me places. I don't know.
That makes you a jackass,
it
though,
does.
Right? It's like there's no getting around that. You can't.
This is coming from the guy when the Zoom came on. You were smiling, and there was a picture of me getting my head shaved in the background.
And I forgot to get you a gift. I didn't know that people. I whiffed on the idea that the Zoom funeral. Like I just whiffed. Of course, you get a gift, you get flowers. But I was just thinking because we're doing this virtually. Like that's a total swing and a miss by me, where I didn't even consider the idea of sending a gift.
Like, well, I told Mike I don't want gifts. Like send them to my dad. If you're gonna send something, I'll give you guys his address. Just send it to my dad. Like he needs that stuff. That stuff will make him happy from you guys.
Which I did, but I got taken for a ride by Shitta overnight. You pay for overnight. There was sunlight outside when I put in an overnight order, and he doesn't get it. And it provides a delicate textural like softening because it's got the nice little chocolate to it. Mm-hmm. But the crunch from the pretzel, like it will really help you mourn if it just when it hits right.
Harold, I can hear you, but I can't see you.
If we all mute, the internet will go faster. It is so great.
It's great. I heard that too, Chris.
I had to double check. Oh, I didn't just hear that.
I heard the same.
I had to keep checking if the mute functionality was working because thank God whoever was running admin just muted everybody because that would have been a disaster from all the different people on Zoom. Something inappropriate would have happened. Probably from one of my speakers. I love you, buddy. I mean that. Very sorry for your loss. I hope that this doesn't come off as flippant. No. It's just I'm bad at it because I don't really know how to deal with these things, so my default is laughter. So let me know if I'm crossing a line. I thought you would enjoy that Stafford tidbit.
You are not crossing a line. I did enjoy the Stafford. It's the first I heard of it, and I thanked you. Yeah. I did. I actually sent back thank you.
I love
Stu Gatz.
You're my brother.
You're my brother.
You talking about your mom's relationship with your friends was like really cool, and
yeah,
that's the part that hit me.
J-Bone, Rat. Those are my brother's friends, by the way. I gave them those nicknames. Ratner was Rat. J-Bone, Jason Scaramucci. Yes, there's.
Is he related?
I believe he is related to Anthony Scaramucci. Yes. But thank you. Yeah. Like, listen, my high school friends were a big part of my mom's life, and that was that was a cool moment. And they've been hugely supportive, as have you guys. It felt like yesterday because I went straight, like, it was high school friends. I didn't have a single college friend in that Zoom chat. No one. And it seems like I skipped college and went straight from high school to this show, because the most support I got was from this show and my friends that I grew up
That's
with.
That's interesting in to sort yeah. of see your life that way, right? That had to be an interesting angle for you as you were at the center of grief and the center of your family and the center of where the love in your life has brought a lot of Harold and a lot of our clown show around. Yeah, that must have been an interesting vantage point for you to take an inventory of your life and her life while staring into the Zoom. But you were dark for a long time, I imagine, because you didn't want everyone coming over and making a big show about how they saw you and everyone wanting to talk to you.
Yeah, I said hello, I thanked everyone, and then I put it on mute because that's what you're supposed to do, and I wanted to be able to see the ceremony, the funeral in New York. But then, yeah, you're right, I went dark. Like, I just didn't want to deal. Like, a lot of people were asking to say hi to me, and I didn't want to deal with it. So, but it was interesting seeing it like that, like just generation, like your whole life was kind of right in front of me yesterday, and that part was interesting. I wonder what happened in college. Like, I don't have any friends from college. I'm like, did I go to college? And then I realized I spent 5 years in college, not going to college, only going to Grateful Dead shows with Rat.
Well, there might be just you did inform a lot of people by Zoom link. I don't know that all of us would have known, like, the turnaround, the awkwardness of how it is that one gathers for a virtual funeral with no real time to prepare, even though I guess you were kind of preparing for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
All of that makes it super awkward where all of a sudden you have to, you know, prepare a speech and you have to speak on behalf of the family. And these are the final words all your loved ones are going to get on this moment. And they're coming from you. That's like you had a piece of paper in your hand. And I would understand if that would feel nervous and pressurized.
Yeah. And I don't normally go with paper. Like you guys were at my daughter's bat mitzvah. I just went off the top of my head with that speech. Yesterday felt more important. And I didn't want to leave certain people out. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't leave anyone out. And so
Mike wanted you to end with an Art Briles joke. Yeah,
I should have. In hindsight, I really should have. I think my dad would have found some humor in it. I know my mom would have because she loved Weekend Observations. She did. Like, I am telling you guys, my mom was in so much physical pain. She watched the show, I want to say, almost every day for like 4 or 5 years. And really grew to love the show and understand the show. She got the show. My mom, it took her a while, but she finally got the show, and she was super appreciative of me being able to call this work. I mean,
did she get the layers to the corporate Michael bit?
No, she didn't like that at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Let's make some money. Oh, the market is open, boys. Diamond strong. Rocket to the moon. Let's go. I'm in all sorts of crypto, and I don't understand it at all. But let's go.
Dangerous game.
Oh.
You're still doing this?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, there's money on the ground. Most of it mine because I'm spilling it everywhere right now. Dude, Wednesday was so fun. And then Thursday, those crooks over at Robinhood, they got me good. Never going to get those 24 hours back, Dano. But today we strike back with the intensity of a 10,000 suns. And we're all millionaires by the end of this day.
I wanted to talk to Stugatz about this because I don't know if he noticed what is going on with the owner of his Mets, right? And this is always interesting when the money, because Stugatz, there are some real financial struggles being had by some people right now. And the economy here has been weird and doesn't make a whole lot of sense, where the stock market's doing one thing and the disparity in wealth between the people who have it and the people who don't is just unbearably large. Elon Musk, who you've been calling a fraud and taking a victory lap on calling a fraud, mm-hmm. Elon Musk is now passing daily Bezos in world's richest man situation.
I mean, Bezos did give up half. I mean,
that's right. But okay. Still, but Elon Musk being less of a fraud every day in terms
he
of.
He is, yes.
As we all don't even know if money's going to matter soon because the wealth disparity is so tied up in the top 1%. And as the rest of the world is, you know, Snowpiercer as we go around the globe here. And most of the problems that you're finding in America, even as we talk about them racially, they have a great deal to do, Stugatz, with just poverty, the difference in poverty. Like when Hispanics are getting taken out or blacks are getting taken out at a disproportionate rate from the coronavirus, it's because it's hitting these communities where people can't afford to be careful. They have to keep going to work to two jobs in places that can't be testing because the economy needs to run on their backs. And like it's the center of the fight in America over race and privilege and everything else, that there's this desperation in the lower classes, which tend to be populated by minorities because we, you know, we scrambled onto this country and through slavery, or, you know, if you're going through Hispanics in Miami, through, you know, being granted freedoms that allowed our immigrant parents and exile parents to work, you know, we scrambled to build an economy for ourselves. And in many black neighborhoods now, one of the great dangers in American society for a long time now is there's still not a lot of ownership in those neighborhoods. Of when people say, well, what are you writing about burning your own property? It's not our property. Everybody, we're renting here. We don't own anything. And so like that scramble in America that you have seen play out over class, over just the things happening in the world when it comes to money, played out with the Mets, with your owner, Steve Cohen. I don't know how much of this you have seen, but this is a unusual thing. Baseball allows very little new money into its club. Even Mark Cuban was considered too dangerous because he's a young renegade owner, although he's not anymore. And all that basketball nonsense of being the showy owner doesn't work in that country club where all of the owners are like, they all look like Bud Selig through history. It's super white club with, what do you got? Artie Moreno, and you got maybe, forgive my ignorance on this, I don't know where the Seattle ownership group is with in terms of international interest.
I think they're from Nintendo, right?
But regardless, it's a very exclusive club. They simply don't allow very many people into it, Stugatz. And they were sketchy on whether Steve Cohen had real money, the kind of liquid that you need to have to be in their special club. Usually these things are unanimous. They did not vote him in unanimously. And he was on Twitter enjoying it. You said he's a showy guy. He's you know, he likes to swagger and be a real Mets fan. And he was interacting with people on Twitter. And then some people pointed out to him that he was on the wrong side of some of this stuff where his money is. And he all of a sudden deleted his Twitter account and ran for the hills, because what's being played out in America, whether it's Jimmy Kimmel and Jon Stewart fighting and stuff, it's a fight over money in terms of where the riches are. And Elon Musk is stirring up a nest in one camp, being a man of the people from up there.
Right.
And the fight for money is it's really interesting to watch this play out and then just spill over every once in a while into sports.
It's super interesting to see who's siding with the people. There are these billionaires, some of the world's richest people, understanding what the
who don't run hedge funds, by
right
the way.
Because right.
they're individual investors.
Because Tesla so. Suffered from the hedge funds and people shorting their stock. I mean, he was in it for a full year, so Elon's backing all these people. By the way, the Nintendo ownership sold to a group led by John Stanton in 2016, so no longer the Nintendo people.
So it's just Artie Moreno trying to make it work in Anaheim with Mike Trout is the only guy in the club. Allowed in the club who's not an old white guy from old money. And like I said, there are even class discrepancies in there. They didn't want Mark Cuban. He was not classy enough for what those baseball owners do in
right.
sort of bilking these towns, Stugatz, because they've been bilking them. I don't know if you guys saw this. It's a story, you know, because baseball, there's a different demo that's paying attention to baseball, Stugatz. And it's an older demo, and baseball is suffering from a bunch of stuff that's happening. But one of the things that's happened is the grift, right? It's the grift of how it is that the league has been structured so random that there are some teams that just can't compete anymore. And I don't know if you saw, but the Rockies, did you see this? Over
no.
the weekend in the middle of everything.
Oh, Arenado, that's
yeah,
right.
Arenado
to the Cardinals, yeah.
got sent to the Cardinals, and the Rockies gave the Cardinals $50 million for doing the favor of, please take this young guy who we were going to build around 2 years ago with one of these monster contracts. 2 years later, the Rockies say, nope, we don't want to play baseball anymore. We're just going to do this as a business. Like, never mind. We're going to send $50 million over there, and we're not interested in competing when we were interested 2 years ago. Like, the pandemic has swallowed it up in a way. They've got to send a player who is going to be a fixture away and pay $50 million for the privilege of doing so.
pay $50 million for the Cardinals to take one of the best players in baseball.
Please take one of the best players, and we're
so what do you do with
you.
That though?
Like, oh, that's brutal. It's gross. It's totally gross, Stugatz. Like that. That's been the grift in that sport on where it is that they do. Man, you saw what happened to us at ESPN when we ran against it with Manfred. Like that was that. It's been a grift in South Florida for a long time. In terms of these guys and Manfred coming on here and talking about, I have a home in Florida. I know what it's like to be there. Like, you got a tax break in Florida.
Right.
Like, the grift down here has been obvious. I'd like to talk. Mike, can we talk to David Sampson? I'd like to talk to David Sampson and get to the bottom of where the Marlins are right now. Because I got to think, as all this money gets crazy, Stugatz, and Derek Jeter's just got a couple of more years, and this economy is not sturdy in Miami, and that team sold for way too much. It wasn't worth that. It doesn't have the television contracts, doesn't have local banking, doesn't have local backing, doesn't have sponsorships. I got to think that Jeter might be in some real trouble here in terms of just, like, do they need to sell this team?
Well, I don't think I think it's Warner that's in trouble because he put up most of the money. I think Jeter's more of a figurehead. I mean, Sherman. Where Jeter's, you know, basically a figurehead to that organization. Like, Jeter's going to be fine. I think his money, his capital, is in big trouble. I think you're right. Like,
I'd like to figure out how to have this conversation in a way that is smart about the business interests of what's happening, because I'm not a business smart person. And Stugatz, last week when we started talking about this, a lot of people are ripping you, Stugatz, because they're saying you got all the stock stuff wrong. As our resident stock expert, Mike Ryan was playing a character. Chris was along for the ride, but you gave out information that people said who know about this stuff that was totally wrong. And it didn't, we were passing you off as our expert.
Like,
Mike?
Well, you made it sound like if I decided to sell stock, I wouldn't get that closing price for three business days.
Yeah.
And it was just like a complete omission about settlement periods. And we were very confused by it, but we were going with it because it's sort of like, you know, it's Chris and I are just learning this stuff, kind of.
Sure, right.
And this is very volatile. Right. And we were looking at each other like, that doesn't sound right, but he sure sounds sure of himself.
Yeah, well, that's the key to everything. I mean, when you're not sure, just say it in a way that makes you sound confident and informed. That's what I used to tell my clients. I mean.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
I'm holding the line with GME and AMC.
No, AMC's doing well.
You need to sell those because they're hoping for people like you who are the last ones on the ship. So you need to get out while there's still people on the ship.
On GME, on GameStop, I'm going to lose. But I don't have that much. Like, I believe in what these people are trying to do. And if they say hold, you put something on our radar. Some of us have made good money because of what you do. So I'm going to be loyal to their cause.
But they're not going to say sell for everyone to sell at the same time, because then you're going to lose a ton of money. They're telling everyone to hold so they can get out, and then they'll get
there
out.
There is a plan. There is a coordinated effort. For right now, it's hold. You don't want to show your cards, because then the market's going to start hedging that. So, but there are people that have made millions of dollars sitting on GameStop right now. There are people that,
the executives have made millions of dollars all selling their share because they realize, holy shit, this is never going to be worth this amount again.
The dude from Chewy's like made billions.
I was reading in the New York Times. I was reading some guy who got in really low and is literally the guy living in his mom's basement, turned it overnight into $48 million, turned a few hundred thousand dollars into $48 million just because of this bet. And I'm curious as I see what Steve Cohen is under, Stugatz, because I don't know what's happening there where he's all of a sudden running for the hills, because there's a bit of a pitchfork mentality of the people who have been ripped off for a long time. Like, one of the funny things that you've seen happen with GameStop, and when it comes to sports, right, Dana White chasing around the people who are hackers and stealing his product. Hey, you guys, you don't get to exploit me exploiting my fighters. Only I get to exploit me exploiting my fighters. You don't get to exploit the exploitment of my fighters by exploiting me and my exploitment of fighters by getting my stuff free. And of course, he chases everyone around and does this. It's the same thing happening right now with GameStop, where Mike is throwing his money recklessly after a losing cause just because of the spirit of it, which is, of course, bleep off, hedge fund guys. You've been betting against America and getting rich in a way that's been unseemly for a really long time, betting on failure. Betting against innovation, betting on where the talent is, where can I find the wins in the margin so that I can rip off America? Like, honest to God, Stugatz, if all that happens here is that democracy falls and communism erupts and the economy totally falls apart, mm-hmm. I'm going to say something that is vaguely anti-American. It's okay, because you know what? You, Goldman Sachs, like, you deserve to be the reason for the ruination of America.
I think you probably push a little too hard on democracy, capitalism, maybe that. Now, I think you're conflating the two all too often.
Yeah.
And there is a general belief that we live in a free market capitalist society. And you saw with what Robin Hood did on Thursday, this isn't exactly a free market if people start restricting your buys just because they don't want you to make money.
I mean, literally, you couldn't write it in fiction any better than the organization Robin Hood, that it was apparently trying to pretend, like the president did for 4 years here, that he was a man of the people.
It was meant for us.
Robin
yes.
Hood, not just meant for us, it is... Robin Hood, the story of Robin Hood, is stealing from the rich to give to the poor. Your very name is the irony. If you were writing this in fiction, it can't be so. Oh, wait a minute. When it actually became a meritocracy, when it actually became, oh, no, the hedge fund guys don't always get to win. The little man can win too sometimes. Robin Hood shuts down, damages its brand forever. Like, the New York Times was filled with these stories, Stugatz, where you're like, oh, this whole thing was ugly in the way that this happened. At the end, it was revealed that Robin Hood was the very opposite of what it is. Like, that's I would think, brand damage ending. They were supposed to be a man of the people, a woman of the people. You could stock trade without having to be a fancy person. You could stock trade the way you call an Uber. You don't need to learn anything. It's just a little gambling online.
You gained all that trust from those people, and then in one day, with one decision, that trust vanished. I mean, so yeah, I would think that would be super damaging to their business. I got in on AMC, by the way. I did on Friday.
Yeah?
It was 8 and change.
Oh, you're doing great then.
I'm doing very well right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
I can't wait to sell.
Instead of talking money, though, here, have you gotten that off the ground yet to see on the moon? Like, let's go. Let's make some t-shirts.
Have I gotten that off the ground? You're doing that on purpose?
Let's make some t-shirts. Let's go. Let's get in on that.
Oh, we're going to make money, just not the stock kind, just off of merchandising and grifting off of this.
Okay, but instead of grifting in business, we grifted off it for content last week. I actually wanted to talk about something with you guys that felt weird this weekend. The Matthew Stafford trade felt like a bomb going off. It felt like a sports bomb that feels like basketball. Wait a minute, Blockbuster. And I think we can agree, right? Stugatz can call Stafford a loser, and we could question Goff's credentials as his system quarterback. But I'd like to more examine what happened there, where people are all of a sudden fascinated by this trade as if it's a seismic trade just because you don't see quarterbacks traded for each other in that sport, not young quarterbacks, not quarterbacks with name.
Well, I think that's the reason so many people were interested in it. I'm not certain it makes either team better. I have no idea. We'll see. But you have a quarterback who went to a Super Bowl just a couple of years ago, had 36 touchdowns, 12 interceptions that year. Everyone thought was on, you know, a great path to being a great quarterback because of the coach and because of how well he played, being traded from Matthew Stafford. And that never happened. When does that happen? When does that happen? When you have two starting quarterbacks being traded for one another.
There's another element, though, because it's not just, if it were just those two, I could understand any amount of cynicism where somebody analyzes sports and they come about this and they're like, Goff and Stafford, just other guys. But we happen to know that one of those guys in Stafford might be, when healthy, a top 10 quarterback. And it's an important position. And if his organization hadn't failed him at every turn in a way that made two greats quit in their prime, and now they hire Man Campbell to totally rebuild it. And I think, Mike, they gave him 6 years because he is there to clean up the janitor stuff on the front end, which is now getting rid of one of their icons. Again, Stugatz, an organization that has won one playoff game since the 1950s and has betrayed every great player that it has had, now trades away Matt Stafford for a chance at hope, for a chance that he might be able to salvage what's left of his prime, because he's been good for them. It's not his fault. Like, they paid him and he earned that money there and he gave his body to it. And he's still flying all over the country meaninglessly through COVID on private planes, staying in a different hotel than his team because he cares deeply about winning for you, Detroit. But Detroit never won for him. Like, that guy was trying. Everybody knows his wife got sick on their watch. They were hurting in public. Like, Stafford has a relationship with that city and that city probably is now happy for him. Yeah, get the hell out of here. Go do something with another. Go do something with your life, kid. Don't drown. Don't give your body any more to this cause.
I'm happy they sent him to the place that reportedly he wanted to go. We had reports out there that there was mutual interest in him going to the Rams. He saw the whole Man Campbell thing and realized the direction the franchise was going in. This was a full reboot opportunity, and Matthew Stafford has given so much of that franchise, he doesn't need to stick around for that. He's proven himself, and now, honestly, this is one of the favorites in the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl.
Okay, but stop there, because there's this one element of the story, Stugatz. So we can talk about Stafford and an icon leaving a city, and then we can talk some more about Goff and the idea of, we all kind of know, hey, that's kind of fraudy, isn't it? That's kind of a quarterback who might have value, but only because he kind of works in that system. And now we're wondering, well, McVay's kind of a genius, and of course he's going to gamble big. He's going to have big bleep because he's coaching at young 30s. He's the new hedge fund guy. He's here to exploit market inefficiencies. I could do this thing I did with Goff with anybody. You see how bad he was when I got here? When I got here, Goff was terrible. He was going to be out of the league a bust. I got here, I rehab that. We get all the way to the Super Bowl. 3 points. Belichick undresses me. I'm young 30s. Okay, I've got to now evolve. How do I evolve? I'm going to go get a quarterback you all know is good. I went after Aaron Rodgers, but I was told he was unavailable. Those are the reports, you guys. Oh, my God. I would have retired and just run with them. I would have tried to figure out how to be a part of that game. Like, I would have retired on the spot. I would have run away with them.
You still got hope, though. Kyle Shanahan sniffing around Aaron Rodgers. That'd
okay,
be great.
But hold on a second.
Can you imagine that? I mean, the quarterbacks in that division, it's already the best division of quarterbacks in the NFL right now. You add Aaron Rodgers to the mix? Wow.
Okay, but Stugatz, so there's that Exciting. Element, right? There's just all of that play, because this is the stuff where it gets intrigue, and now you got basketball stuff happening, because also in the shadows of what we're talking about is Deshaun Watson, because one of the subtexts that immediately arrived is, wait a minute, holy shit, if Stafford's worth that much, when we know he's good and he's top 10, but he's not young and his body's all broken. Like, if Stafford gets that, and then it gets you into the salary cap machinations, Stugatz, because this is interesting for a number of reasons. That went not because Stafford is that valuable for that much, but because the Rams had to get out from under that Goff contract. It is a crippler in the modern age. It's a salary cap sport. You need to get your quarterbacks cheap. They gave a bad contract to Goff. It looked like they were going to eat it for 10 years. They just saved their franchise with that move by going after Stafford and sort of resetting there. The salary cap machinations are interesting here, Stugatz, because the Lions just told you, no, Man Campbell, 6 years. We're going to tank it here for a while and really, really be bad, because the Lions are $5 to $10 million over the cap now, and they're going to be paying Stafford and Goff $41 million the next couple of seasons while getting Goff. So Campbell's there for 2 years of janitor work, and then we'll see if we can build it on the back end. But then you throw into that mix the intrigues, Stugatz, of Deshaun Watson taking off of his Twitter accounts and his Instagram and all his social media, all the text and stuff. He's out of there, and now he's available, and everyone knows he's good, because do you know how bad you have to be as an organization when your quarterback throws 36 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions in a season to be 4-12? To be 4-12 when your quarterback goes 36-7. Do you realize how many ways you have failed that quarterback? And now he's in the game, right? Isn't that part of the subtext of why this was a bomb going off? It's not just about Stafford. It's because, like, oh, wait a minute. If that's what he costs, wait a minute. Are we not talking about Deshaun Watson? And somebody's going to have to give over the franchise, because you know what you're getting is 10 years of a good quarterback.
You were waiting to see which would be the first quarterback to move, because that sets the market for Deshaun Watson. It was very unlikely that Deshaun Watson was going to be the first quarterback to move, because these lesser-known quarterbacks, not lesser-known, they're all massive names, but these less desired quarterbacks are going to be going for some prizes. And if you see the market, then Houston can either ask for more or modify what they're asking for. There are reports right now. Was it Roy saying what they were looking for, which is kind of a Bill O'Brien type strategy, which is they're looking for impact players on defense, which is just get the draft capital. It's kind of weird.
That takes the Jets out of it if that's what they're looking for. Impact players.
Well, tell me how you guys experienced it as fans, because am I wrong in anything that I'm saying in that this felt like a football bomb going off because it also has those Deshaun Watson implications, Dugatz. It's not just two quarterbacks shifting teams, is that you're watching. Look,
Get Goff, though. I mean, I understand what you're saying, the two first-round picks, the second-round pick, what you would have to give to get Deshaun Watson. They also gave back a young quarterback, so.
Oh, but don't you think you just watched the end of Goff's career? Don't you think that kind of feels like that? Maybe they take a flyer on him. But
why, because career's going to die in Detroit? Yeah,
it's
probably.
It's going to be the first 2 years in Detroit. He's not going to be any kind of special that Stafford. Look, man, I'm doing this all with my eyes, Stugatz. I'm not even looking at the numbers. I just think of Stafford, even as someone who's been critical of him being the highest paid quarterback in the league, which I was, because somebody at every point needs to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And sometimes you make the mistake of Carson Wentz, and maybe someone will find a way to rehab him. But sometimes it becomes Stafford, where we can all agree. Look, Stugatz, the media expectations are sometimes unfair, right? You saw what happened with Tanaka in New York. The New York Times had a headline on Tanaka because he's leaving New York, the $155 million player who never lived up to the hype. And it's like, that's not fair. Come on, he played two All-Star games. He was an opening day starter for you four times.
He's a great postseason pitcher.
Like, that's unfair.
I mean, it is, but it's not, you know?
He didn't live up to the hype?
I mean, $155 million, he didn't live up to that. No, he did not. He didn't.
It's not in sports all that much money anymore.
I know, but back then it was. Back then it was a major contract, Tanaka. Now I have to look up the Tanaka numbers.
So wait a minute.
I have so many stats. I have Goff stats. I have Stafford stats. And now I'm looking up Tanaka's
stats.
Okay,
no, you don't need to do that. My larger point is that I feel like we all kind of know that Goff might, if maybe he rehabs himself here, but you guys saw what Goff and Foles and all those guys were.
I saw Goff in a Super Bowl.
When Fisher was their quarterback. When Fisher was their coach, I'm sorry. Like all those guys who weren't any good when they had, like Jeff Fisher did this. Weren't there three of these quarterbacks? It was one of them with the Rams. It was Foles and some other quarterback. It was Case Keenum. Where three quarterbacks, you're like, he doesn't do anything with them. And then they go somewhere else and someplace else does something with them. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Why were the Dolphins flying in Jeff Fisher on a helicopter? He's just a fool with a mustache.
The Case Keenum year.
He had McNair for 20 years. And so it was easy to go 8-8 when he was, you know, he had Steve McNair for all those years.
Tanaka, 78-48 with a 3.74 ERA. I mean, $155 million, please.
What does it need to be?
But Tanaka, what does the record need to be? The contract.
How many All-Star games? How many, like, what?
He made two. 155 means you should make the All-Star game every year. Don't you think?
Chris, help me with something because the math on this is funny to me. Did your father really write that he voted for the Hall of Fame? I can't wait to talk to him about this tomorrow. Tell me I'm right about this, that I read this correctly, that your father initially voted for Curt Schilling for the Hall of Fame and then heard something Curt Schilling said and called the Hall of Fame and tried to rescind his vote.
I did not hear that.
You don't read your father,
what?
Do you?
I don't read my father.
Chris, you don't read your father.
I do sometimes, but then every month you only get a certain amount of free from the Herald every month. So you gotta
choose. He won't pay for his father.
Chris, how is this?
Stan,
not
look at me. What Chris, do you want from me? You think I subscribe to all these newspapers?
All right, Chris.
What are you doing here?
Chris, give me. You should be supporting journalism, but if you're not going to do that, you should be supporting your father.
He's
but if
busy
you're not,
supporting Nokia.
If you're not, going
I know.
To
seriously,
do that,
I'm watching these, man. It's tanking. Well, this is rough so far.
I want you to give us some information. Last night, I saw a more slickly polished and more professional Greg Cody. Now that the PFPI Gala has his own podcast to promote. He is actually giving some effort now to the video that he makes with you and the family now that it supports just him. When he was doing it for us, it was just bare minimum, maximum lazy, just It was just garbage again and again. But I saw that last night he seemed to have some production in his house as he did the annual Fantasy League turd gala of his, where he just loves to celebrate himself and just be narcissism at its finest in a suit from the 1980s in a home where the walls were painted in 1980 as well last.
Well, the PFBI gala was officially sponsored for the first time ever. So it was like the production value was, yeah, the Greg Cody show with Greg Cody sponsored the PFBI gala. So it had some, you know, some money put behind it. So the production value was up.
Dan, I have a business idea for you now that, you know, this new company started. What are two things people love? Newspaper and cable. What if you combine them? And you start a subscription service where you pick and choose the number of different newspapers you want to subscribe to for a discounted rate by a bundle. I present to you, I don't have a name for it yet, I just thought of it.
Nable.
But I figured we were doing like a Shark Tank thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, Nable. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Dan?
You like it?
Well, Billy, I don't know what show you're doing exactly, but I was trying to talk to Chris about the gala last night, and I'm not sure why you just made me a business proposition.
Well, it kind of petered out, the whole gala talk.
I mean, well, yeah, and I was just trying to bring it back to, because this whole thing started because Chris doesn't subscribe. He said, what am I supposed to do? I ran a free subscription. I can't subscribe to all of them. And I said, what if there was a bundle?
All right, so do you think, Billy, do you think we could gather together like hedge fund managers collecting whatever's remaining of journalism here? You think we could bundle a package of subscriptions and tell our listeners to support newspapers and support journalism because we're free pirates? Who's going to organize that? You want to organize that?
Well, I mean, maybe we could tell Skip, see if he'll do it. He used to run a cable network, so he might know more than I do about this. But to be honest with you, I think it's a horrible idea. It was more of a joke idea than a real idea. But hey, if you think it works, then my idea. The Athletic, The Times, The Herald, all for $62 a month.
Let's get into that business. Let's do it with Colin Cowherd. Mike Ryan's been wanting to talk about Colin Cowherd for the better part of a month. What's your problem with Colin Cowherd, Mike Ryan?
Oh, I don't have a problem at all with Colin Cowherd. I saw that he was called the biggest star in sports radio, which I agree with, because you're no longer on sports talk radio, Dan. That's why I agree with it.
You think Dan would have won it if he was?
I mean, it's certainly debatable.
I agree.
Colin's, I mean, a genius businessman. He is. And now the reports are he's starting a podcast network a couple of years after he started another podcast network that I honestly didn't know existed. But this is where the industry is going. And it's good to know that the rest of conventional sports talk radio understands it too. Dan, you were a pioneer.
We were pioneers.
Well, actually, Francesa was, but nobody ended up paying for his service.
He really was.
But what Francesa was doing was indeed groundbreaking.
Mic'd up.
There just wasn't a market for it.
Yeah, he was a little, you never want to be first to market. But
he was charging a bit too much. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, we're certainly at the right price range right now, where it just costs me everything, free to everybody. Yeah, I don't understand why Francesa didn't choose this route. When I was reading about Cowherd, I was reading about a guy who was going to pour millions of his own dollars into starting his own business, starting his own company. And look, man, he was talking about some of the stuff that has been learned around here by us. He was talking about being a curator and aging with grace, right? You and I, Stu, guys, have been talking as we, you know, I shouldn't say we bury your mother, but as you bury your mother yesterday, and we have sort of come to realize that this is our family on the radio and we enjoy the stuff together. This is going to be the family business now, right? Like this is in very real terms. I don't know how I've been, you know, talking about this on air and if you've gotten it clear enough. Certainly we've talked to Skipper enough on South Beach Sessions, but the hope here in breaking free of ESPN now is because in the previous incarnation, there was no way for our business to run in Miami and not out of Bristol. Like one of the things that allowed us to grow as like weeds outside of the empire and exist inside of there is because we had no supervision. We were in Miami and we were not in Bristol. And so the choices for the people who grew up around this show were going to be either Dan and Stugatz retire or do something else or go on with their careers. And then they can have careers in Bristol, but they've made their lives here in Miami and we've made our lives here in Miami. And big jobs have been turned down that could have already been in Bristol to stay in Miami. And so what we're building now is the family business, hopefully. What we're building now in free agency is floating off into this next thing, which is going to be, it's going to be a really cool thing for us that's going to fund our future and allow us to exist in Miami as the family business, never making a compromise, riding with the people who rode with us through the rest of our careers. That's one of the reasons that this is so cool to do for you in this space this way. And I know I, you know, too often let you behind the curtain on this, but it is consuming our every workday and our every thought to just try and bring you this content, because we've got so many other things going on, including Stugatz in the middle of this, having to make a 90-minute drive two ways to try and get away from the grief he's got in his home.
Yeah, I am. I'm very much looking forward to, you want to call it a final chat, whatever it is, this new company, this new challenge. So are you telling me that we're going to arrive, hopefully, at a place where you and I can do whatever we want, be wherever we want, and we'll make money off of other people? Is that where we're headed?
That's
curating?
All you're hearing?
Is that what curating is?
Well, Mike, didn't you find that suspicious?
Because that's the dream, man. Let's be honest.
Colin Cowherd all of a sudden wants to be a talent curator for Aqib Talib.
I thought there was a very different rollout for this podcast network than the last one, because he was also trying that with the last one. I think he trotted out Cowboy and Girl. I don't even know. I never even heard of the podcast before. And he tried this with the power and backing of iHeartMedia behind him last time. Much different vibe to some of these announcements. Good. Using his platform to give some people... Look, some of the announcements, I'm a huge fan of Dragonfly Jones. These are really funny people on Twitter. I don't know what kind of broadcasters they're going to end up being.
I've wanted to hire him for years. I really like that
great
dude.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that guy being a part of what we do, because he has felt a part of what we do for a while, and I've always wanted to support that.
I haven't felt him a part of what we're doing. Stan Van Gundy said, why are you reading Dragonfly Jones once? Does that qualify? Is that what you're talking about?
I think spiritually he sort of understands.
I think he likes the show.
Here's what I noticed.
He understands.
Here's
the
what
show.
I noticed from the most recent Colin Cowherd announcement is, so that's what it looks like when you have your ducks in a row. Because we've just been doing this ass backwards. Content first, announcements after, building up from after. Like, he's got sponsorships and people to announce, and I'm just here holding on for dear life, hoping that a dated phone from the 1990s can come rescue me.
I mean, one second I was on ESPN, the next second I'm the general sales manager of I don't know what.
Guys, quick update here on whatsnewinpublishing.com. 2 years ago, they wrote an article that says why bundled subscriptions won't save the news industry. So maybe let's punt on that idea.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.